Turn 2 Corinthians chapter 10 with me this morning, please. If you ever go out visiting around to churches, try not to go to Corinth Church. We had a lot of problems. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 3. The Apostle Paul addresses the church and said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God, to pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Bless your word, Lord. Bless the holy word. In thy name I pray. Amen. You all can be seated. I suppose it's a necessary thing. The Lord said there'd be wars and rumors of wars. I've lived through a few in my few short years on this earth. I was born in 1946, so I'm what's called a baby boomer. My father was a veteran of World War II, and he served in Europe. And many of you in this house, no doubt, have been associated one way or another. I'm a veteran. I spent 4 years in the military. I am not a combat veteran, though. I never went to the field combat. I thought I was headed that way. I had my orders for the 1st Marine Division, but I wound up in Okinawa, stayed there for a little over a year. But I have great respect for combat veterans, believe me. I have the greatest respect for them. What I did, I got jeeps and six bys and ambulances and stuff shot all to pieces, and it was my job to fix them up and send them back out to the field so they could be used again. So that was my contribution. I was a mechanic when I was in the military. Therefore, my closeness to war has to do with the men that I knew. I knew many of them that were in combat, and I understood the situation. And you'll never really fully understand what war is like until you've been there. There's no way in the world that you could ever in your mind conceive what it is like to go to war. You have, you know, the marches, and you have the bands, and that's all good. They have their place. They certainly do. But when you get to the battlefield and you get out there and your friend has his head blown off next to you, then it wakes you up real fast that this is not a game anymore, that you're in a place where people are trying to kill you. And war, therefore, as some have said, is hell, and it is. Make no mistake. So the Apostle Paul reckons our Christian life to war. He says we war. It's warfare. And that's the strongest term he could possibly use to say that we are in war. December the 7th, 1941, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. That was our Pacific Fleet. Battleships and all were harbored there. But our carriers were out in away, and that saved a lot. But in December the 7th, when they bombed them, that's 2 days from now, by the way, is the anniversary of that. 1,500 men right now lie in the USS Arizona, and they've built a little monument across the top of it. Many young men died. You could hear them as they banged on the top of these on the deck of the battleships, and they tried to get to them. And they couldn't get to them in time, and so they drown young men. This is what war is about. It's about death. It's about people dying. And so I think it was the next day or the day after that President Roosevelt declared war, had Congress declared war against the Empire of Japan. And so the United States entered into a terrible, terrible time of struggle. Just a few days later, wasn't long after that Adolf Hitler declared war on America. The German nation declared war on this country. And so we were engaged. We were locked in mortal combat. Lives changed. People had to sacrifice things. They lost their loved ones. They had family that were torn apart. And they simply was not the same. And there's no way it could be the same. Because you don't play at war. The weather doesn't affect it, you know. Whether you're tired doesn't affect it. When you go to war, you go to war. And this faith that we espouse today, that we preach, is something that is all-encompassing. We are either or we are not. It's one of the two. There's no straddling the fence. I either know the Lord Jesus Christ or I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. He has either changed my life or he has not changed my life. And the change does not come from the outside. That's your righteousness. The change comes from the inside. Aren't you glad for that? Something happens deep down inside your soul that makes you different from that day until the rest of your life. And so, my dear friend, you begin to understand the spiritual struggle that we're in. And we are in a death struggle. So death, my dear friend, is definitely, death is there. Death is on every corner in war. It's everywhere. And this death, of course, to be considered in the spiritual life, there has to be some things that die. Some of the old man must die. Some of the old world must die. This generation today, one of the biggest mistakes that it makes, it tries to drag the old world. It tries to drag the world into its life and say, well, it's all right now to just live like everybody else around us. Well, you can't do it. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will guide you into the way that you should live. In the Bible, there are a number of battles that are mentioned, and battles are important because battles have to do with war. We war, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10. It says, we walk not after the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We go to war, and when we go to war locked in war, expecting to win. That's one of the things that's important, too, that I've learned in my lifetime. You don't go over there to play games. When you go over there and you go into warfare, go to win. Amen. You have no business being there if you're not going to fight to win. Amen. Amen. Got no business being there. And so, therefore, with your Christian life, you should make up your mind by the grace of God, until I draw my last breath, I'm going to be living for the Lord. Amen. I may sink and falter a little bit. I may shake in my faith sometimes. I may not be the strongest I ought to be. But by the grace of God, I know where to come back to. Amen. 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 In the Old Testament, there was a 1 million man battle. 1 million men had gathered against Israel. And you talk about this, folks, those people were worried. They were panicking. Because how in the world are we got this little nation of ours going, how are we going to fight against 1 million men? And so they told Samuel. Did you know what Samuel did? The Bible said he took a sucking lamb. He took a sucking lamb and he offered it up as a sacrifice to God. And do you know what? That took care of the job right there. That's all it takes. It takes what Christ did for us. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Amen. More than conquerors. A sucking lamb. In the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, we have conquest. It's a time of conquest. War is about conquest in some cases. They took this part, they took that part. They take this, they take that. And they were taking what God had already promised them, but they had to go to war to get it. God has laid a promise out for every one of us today, but he doesn't just hand it to us because this flesh is fallen. And he wants you, my dear friend, to put some roots down. And the only way you ever put a root down is when you stand against the wind and anchor your soul in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it's going to change who you are. You won't be tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine. Give me somebody that understands what I'm talking about. Put your faith in Christ. Hold on to him. Lock him in. And I don't care what happens to you, you've got to take hold of him. 3 o'clock this morning I prayed. And when I talked to the Lord at 3 o'clock this morning, I talked straight to God. I talked plainly. I don't get into a bunch of high-sounding theological Mickey Mouse junk. I simply talk straight to God. Man, what a talk I had with him at 3 o'clock this morning. You know what? He was awake. Amen. The Bible said, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Aren't you glad for that? Headquarters is always open. Amen. Talk to him and he talked back to me. And you know something, folks? It's all about God. It's all about God. It'll always be about God. It's not about me, but it's about how I approach him, how I understand him, how I understand who he is, his character. Do you really know what I'm talking about today? My dear friend, you got to know who you believe. I know whom I have believed. And so the battles in the Old Testament, there's also the war of attrition, the book of Judges. What's the war of attrition? Attrition is where they strike you and run, strike you again and run, strike you again and run. It's a constant, unrelenting battle. Have you ever seen the devil work over you like that? Has he ever struck you and run? Has he ever struck you and run again? Has he sniped at you and sniped at you and sniped at you? Yes, he will. That's one of his tactics. These are the tactics of the devil. In World War II, in June the 6th, 1944, hundreds of thousands of American, Canadian, French troops hit the beaches at Normandy. In just a few short months, they had already made their way across Europe, and they were approaching Germany. And Adolf Hitler realized that something is going to have to be done, or they're finished. And so he took everything that he had left, all of his armor, all of his troops, and he arrayed them December the 16th against the troops that were coming across Europe. And his intent was to break the line and to go through that line and to set up a power, set up a stronghold. And in so doing, he was hoping that he would be able to separate these troops and regain a foothold in Europe and then work from that on. And so he set about to do it. And what happened was called the Battle of the Bulge. And I'm sure if you know anything about World War II, you've heard about the Battle of the Bulge. Because he did succeed in almost breaking through the American lines. But here's the thing. During this time, the Battle of the Bulge, he took German troops that could speak perfect English. He dressed them up as American soldiers, put them in American jeeps, and drove them into the forces. And when he did that, he spread disinformation, changed road signs. He did everything in the world to cause confusion in the American ranks. And they did a good job of it for a while. They did a good job of it. What you ought to do is get on YouTube and you'll see some young men standing there ready for the firing squad that were the German troops that had been that spoke perfect English. And the Americans thought these were their friends. They thought these were their comrades. They thought this was their brethren. You see, my dear friend, one of the worst deceptions there is, false brethren. That's what that lesson teaches me, false brethren. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love God. I love his word. Blah, 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 blah. But, and it's always that but, you've got to watch out for it because their life is what they are, not what they babble. You judge a tree by the fruit it bears. Does it give glory to God? Yes, sir. Propaganda is another way of tactics of Satan. How many's ever heard of Tokyo Rose? Tokyo Rose. Boy, does she ever wear our troops out. Tried her dead level best to discourage them. All kinds of lies. Everything in the world. And my friend, they listened to her. These guys over there, they listened to Tokyo Rose. Played American music, you know. Sucked them right in. Let them know if you all just understood how wicked that the American commanders are. And we want to do this for you and we want to do that for you. That was Tokyo Rose. They'd had leaflets out. And this is the way. This is another of their tactics. You see, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In plain words, you live in the same world that they live in. If they suffer, we suffer. If they die, we die. If they hurt, we hurt. And don't ever let some preacher get up and tell you that all of a sudden you live in this bubble and you're exempt from all of the sorrows, that it's just one big shout on top of the mountain till we get there. No, it's not. No, it's not. Let me tell you something. Every once in a while, I'll have a good conversation with the devil. Have a good conversation with him. Every once in a while, I'll find myself agreeing with the devil. I agree with him. Devils make some sense. And I think to myself, man, good night. Let's listen to what the devil's got to say here. You know, he quoted scripture in Psalm 91 to the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll talk to you. If you'll listen to him, he'll talk to you. He's got a lot to say. He can quote the Bible. What his intent is, to destroy your faith in the Word of God. To take a wedge and drive it between you and the Lord as strong as he possibly can. He wants to separate you from God. And so I have these talks with the devil and I find myself agreeing with him. And then I get down on my knees and I say, Lord, I've had a time with him. I've had a time with him. Now, Lord, lead me the right way. Give me wisdom. Open doors. Give me light. How many of you think you can find your way through the spiritual world? You really believe you can find what's right? Do you think you know how to live? Do you think you know everything that you ought to be reading and what you ought to be doing? You need the hand of God. You need the Holy Spirit. leading you. Satan is so, boy, I'll tell you right, he can sound so spiritual. He sure can. Oh, man, can he ever. Then there's that satanic attack. What's that? That's when he attacks you physically. He attacks you physically. And he can attack you spiritually. And these guys that come back from war, they come back all shot up. They come back all shot up emotionally. You ought to get on YouTube. Now, I know I tell you YouTube so many times. You ought to get on there, though, and look at those World War I veterans that have shell shock. You ought to see it. You ought to see the way their body's jerking and the way their eyes are popping out of their head. And you know where they got that? They got that from the battlefield. You see, my dear friend, we will definitely have casualties. In this life, in this fight, in this war, there's going to be some that don't make it. They're going to fall out. False brethren will work on some of you. Some of you will get stabbed in the back in the church that you go to. Some of you will have people turn against you and they thought you were your friends. And they'll turn on you like a rattlesnake. Some of you will wonder, where in the world? How did I wind up here? And it's because the Almighty will take you through it. He'll take you through it. It'll take you through the fire. He'll take you through it. And when he brings you through it, you'll be stronger on the other side. Your strength is never in yourself. Your strength is in God. He'll take you through it. He'll take you through it. He'll take you through it. How many has ever come through a hell hole and on the other side you look back and say, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. He was with me and never failed me. He didn't fail me. Didn't fail me. He can't fail you. He can't do it. I've learned something about him. He cannot lie. He can't fail. He's just. Tell not the judge of the whole earth. Do right. He'll do right. That's the God that I know. I may not understand what right and wrong is in some cases, but he does. And I'll trust his character. I'll trust him. I'll trust him. So what's the greatest battle you can find? The greatest battle in that Bible was at Calvary. That's the greatest one. And it was a battle. You say, well, I thought he was nailed to a tree. He was. His body was. But his soul and his spirit were going through a battle that nobody could see. The Old Testament book of Isaiah said the bulls of Bashan encompassed me. When you study the bulls of Bashan, you'll find out that that's a reference to demonic powers. Stripping him of his faith. Coming against him. When the heavens turned dark and he cried, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That wasn't an act. That wasn't for effect. That wasn't part of the script. That came from his soul. That came from his soul because his father had forsaken him. When he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, God Almighty could not have with him what he'd had with him before. It broke it right then. So, on that cross, our Lord Jesus Christ was left to the only thing he had left was his faith in God. His faith in God. He's the God-man. This gets into the Trinity. It gets into what's going on. His faith in God. His faith in God. And the last word he said on that cross, though you've forsaken me, though the heavens have turned black, though I've been assaulted by the powers of hell, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And you know what? The Father smelled a sweet savor. Sweet savor. And received him into his presence. That was the greatest battle ever fought. That was the greatest battle. What is your greatest weapon against Satan? What really is your greatest weapon against Satan? Having a head full of Bible knowledge, that won't do the job. Accomplishments, you built 5 or 6 big churches, you're big shot. That won't do the job either. Your spirituality. I mean, you're a swami in the Christian church, and people think that you are it. That's not going to get the job done either. What is your greatest weapon against God, against Satan? 2,000 years ago when the Romans marched into battle, they marched in what's called legions. You remember the New Testament, this man had legions. Lord Jesus said, what's your name? Legion. Legion. Now, Legion, you hear, said anywhere from 5,000 to 6,500, depending on the time, depending on this and that and this and that. Thousands make up a Legion. Let's just say, for number's sake, 5,500, 6,000. That's a Legion. 10 legions, 60,000 troops. Right now, Putin has 170,000 Russian troops amassing on the border with Ukraine. Right. Folks, that's an army. That's a big army. They're amassed right now. He's already taken the Crimea. A lot of those people in the Crimea are Russian in culture, Russian in language. We understand all that. But the Ukrainian people, they're different people. They're different people. So I don't know what's going to happen. Well, let me tell you, I know what's going to happen. There's going to be some wars. There's going to be some wars. Anyway, when they marched into battle, they carried their eagle. How many's ever seen a Roman eagle? They carried the eagle. Then they had a big thing that said SPQR. You ever seen that? Roman? SPQR. It is Latin Senatus, Populus, and Romanus. In plainer words, it means the Senate and the Roman people. So we are representatives of our culture and our sovereignty. We come and we represent the seat of government and the people of our land. That's what that meant. But they also had a standard. Every legion had its own identity, its own standard. You identified that legion. Rome had dozens and dozens and dozens of legions. But when they went into battle, they went into battle to win. If they lost that eagle, they were disbanded. That eagle was all important to the Roman legion because it represented their honor, the fighting ability, and the eagle lost it in battle, they disbanded. A few cases, it was gotten back from the enemy and they came back together in honor, all worked fine. The year 312, Constantine the First, at the Battle of the Milvian Bridge. Remember now what I just told you about the eagle, about the SPQR, and about the standard for that legion. At the Battle of the Milvian Bridge, a vision appeared in the heavens, a cross. And the words at the cross, by this conquer. So I suppose what that meant was, we're replacing the eagle with the cross. This is what you're fighting about. This is what you're fighting for. And so from that day on, he would arm his troops with shields that had a cross on them. And Constantine became the first Roman emperor who openly professed to be a Christian. And they stopped their persecution of the Christian church that they've been enduring for decades, a long time. Now, Constantine is a very controversial figure. I don't get into all that. He convened the Council of Trent, or Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Big deal. And he was there to do that. And Constantine, whether he was a real Christian or not, like I say, is a matter of controversy. I'm not here today to preach about Constantine, but I am talking about that cross. That cross. By this you conquer. By this cross. Now there are those that want a piece of the cross. If they can just get a relic, if they can get a piece of the wood, they got what they want. If I can just get a relic of the cross, oh, how precious and wonderful that would be. That wouldn't do you a bit of good. If you had the very cross that the Lord Jesus was crucified on, that wouldn't help you any. When he said, by this conquer, and if he did, if all of this is true, if the cross he's talking about is not a piece of metal or wood, it is the one who hung on that cross. That's the one that we march behind. That's the one that is our standard. That's the one that separates us from the world. In that cross, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The cross becomes our standard. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to fight the devil, if you want to battle with Satan, take him to the cross. If you're depressed about your faith in Christ, go to the cross. If you're unsure of what God thinks about you and your attitude God has towards you, take him to the cross. If you're not sure about why you're here and what's going on in your life, go to the cross. Because the cross is the answer from God for everything we need. Well, preacher, I believe in the blood. So do I. But where did it come from? It came from the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm a firm believer in the blood. You better believe I am. But without the cross, there would have been no blood. It was there that his precious blood was shed so that we could be saved. And here's one more. I'll finish with this. They got the eagle. They got it. They lost it to the Germans. Germanicus. They lost it to the Germans. The Battle of Teuton Forest or something like that. And they've lost it at other places. Okay? They lost their eagle. Disbanded. But let me tell you something. We will not lose our cross. It will not happen. It cannot happen. Because nobody on this earth is carrying that cross. That cross has already done its job. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's finished the work that God gave him to do. If you fight your battles, folks, if you fight them, and you ought to, take them to the cross. That's the answer for every lie of Satan. Take them to the cross. Father, in Jesus' name, bless your word. Little time we've had in this house today. I pray you take what I've said, Lord, words that come out of my mouth, Father, just words, but let them sink into the heart, take hold of the soul. Let them convey the message that the words will carry, and may it help somebody. In your name I pray. Now, nobody's looking. I want you to think with me for a minute. Do you know for certain that you've been to the cross? Have you been there? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Do you know the Lord? Have you accepted him? You're not running from him, you're running to him. You don't understand a lot about him. That's fine, neither do I. Nobody does. But he's God. So it's his character that I trust, not my understanding of everything. It's the character of the one that I believe in. That's what I trust. Because he can't do wrong. Anybody raise your hand and say, preacher, won't you pray for me? Because that kind of talk speaks to my soul. God bless you. God bless you over here. God bless you back there. God bless you over here now. God bless you in the back. God bless you over here. God bless you. Got hands up everywhere all over this place. God bless you back here. And God bless you in the front. Father, you know who I am. I'm just the messenger, Lord. I'm just the voice. Lord, I give you this service. I give it to thee. It's yours now. I'm done. Do what you want to do in this house. If there's somebody in this house this morning that need help from thee, Lord, may I, Lord, help me that I've said the right thing to help them. Help them. It's not about me. It's about you, Lord. And their faith in you is not their faith in all they can understand about you. Their faith in you is their faith in your character, who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. That's something our brother's got over here.